Hello, America, and all of our listeners all over the world. You're listening to yet another exciting and, let's be honest, hot edition of Let's Weekend. I am Coach Tim, your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Felipe Adolfo, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Logi. Say hi, guys.
Hey. Hey.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yep. So, yeah, it's hot. but actually, here's the thing. It's not as hot as it has been. It's actually been somewhat decreasing over this week. Of course, I say that, and, like, the lowest we had was, like, 87. But,
well, that's nice, though.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're now in August.
Yeah.
Which, you know, means September is just a few weeks away, and, you know, it'll be fun to, it'll be nice to know, to remember what it feels like to be cold.
Ah, yes. As we longingly look at our mittens and scarves, let's enjoy what we got right now.
Mm. Yeah. And of course, considering the climate the way it is now, also means that before December rolls around, we'll probably have to deal with yet another fucking tropical storm here in Georgia.
Yeah.
Although, surprisingly, considering we're now in the middle of August, hurricane season has been surprisingly calm.
Hmm.
Hurricane season technically starts like late June, early July.
Yeah.
We're in August now, and you know, nothing. There's like a tropical depression in Florida, but all that's going to do is bring some rain. So, which I don't know whether to see all of that as maybe we won't have to deal with the fucking trees coming down and tearing down the power lines again once more. Or
let's hope not.
Or does it mean that something even worse is around the corner?
Hmm.
But
well, I think
anyway.
The next step after the hurricanes is kaiju attacks. So
yeah. 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 Anyway, so what we got for this week? Well, we got one asshole who hacked Capital One. Our president decided to attack the city of Baltimore, and it fucking backfired on him seriously. The whole subject of student loan forgiveness is sort of a big thing now, thanks to, you know, the Democratic debates. One candidate's particular program kind of sucks. Also, we got some stuff from California. Jeffrey Epstein is not only a disgusting, weird sexual predator, but he's also one with a god complex, and we're going to tell you why. Trump tried to make himself a hero from 9/11, and, you know, he wasn't. He was several miles away from ground zero the whole time. Whatever, I'll get to it. oh, yeah, and he's saying that we're going to cure AIDS if he gets reelected. You'll also find out why Moscow Mitch was number one trending this week. The farmers in California are starting to convert over to solar farms. And we got some other stuff, too. The Impossible Whopper, that thing we've been talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, it goes nationwide, and we're going to tell you when.
Sweet.
I was at Burger King, and I thought about trying to order it today.
Yeah.
I thought about it.
Not yet, so.
Yeah.
Oh, there's that crazy lady again. She's asking about the Impossible Whopper.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and you know that one song you've been hearing like a zillion times over the last 17 weeks? Mm. It officially broke Billboard's record for most weeks at number one. And see, I don't mind because I actually like this song, so.
Well, I'm interested to find out what it is and if I've heard it.
Oh, you probably have. It's pretty much impossible to have not heard it at this point. But anyway, before we get to all of that, as always, Bill, what have you been up to this week?
So it's been a couple of years, so I decided that I'm going to listen to the Stormlight Archive again.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm about nine and a half hours through the first book. So, yeah, I got another 35 or so to go.
Yeah.
So
it's a long-ass book, people.
It's a long-ass book, and then the next book is like 49 hours, and the third one is like 55. So I got my reading cut out for me.
But at some point, you know, they're going to come out when he brings out, like, what was it, like, I think it's supposed to be like a 10-book series.
Yeah.
And, like, the 10th book is going to just be, like, the length of the local Barnes & Noble. Like,
it's like you got to bring it home with a forklift, basically.
Yeah.
It's huge.
You got to have it shipped with a tractor trailer.
I would hate to see the omnibus version of that series.
It would probably be about the length of the Burj Khalifa in the UAE.
Yeah, but I'm still enjoying that. I mean, it's like it's one of those things where like this is about the third time that I've gone through it, and I'm like picking up on stuff that I've missed the other two times, which is nice to know that there's a lot more detail in there than I had thought. Yeah, it's a great series. If you like, you know, political intrigue, classism, mysticism, mixed with tokusatsu, you could do.
And also, it's not, you know, mired in the usual orcs, dwarves, and elves bullshit that tends to be most of the fantasy genre.
Nope, not in the slightest. It's far weirder than that, and it's great for it. And that third book, boy, did it ever get weird. That was like that was chaos complete. So, but yeah, I'll get to that one eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But apart from that, well, I'm still playing Bloodstained. Yeah, I saw the latest dev update on that, and so some of the nerfs that we were like railing about turns out they weren't that bad.
Yeah,
you know, a couple of points of damage. It's nothing too huge. But yeah, the patch for the PS4 should hit today, as the DLC where you can fight Koji Igarashi is should be now on the PS Store, so you could get that and get the Sword Whip after you beat Koji Igarashi, because that's a thing you can do now. Yeah. So apart from that, well, I've been playing some other thing, but I can't talk about it. I can't talk about it Sunday either. Because it releases on the 6th, so that's really irritating.
Is this a major release, or is it a Steam release? Can you give us some hint?
Well, it's coming out on most of the things, and it's a re-release of something we never got here. So
okay, and you say it comes out on the 6th?
Yes, so it's very American, so I'll give you that.
Oh, it's... Okay, it's that game. I gotcha. Yeah, he pay attention to that last sentence he said, because yeah.
So that's been good, and that's, you know, pretty much been my week. How about you, Pat?
Well, last night was the big reveal of pretty much everything that I have planned for World Warriors over the next several months, and now begins the process of actually implementing it, and I'm not complaining. I mean, the site is really starting to take the shape of my original vision for it. It's just going to be a little bit jarring getting back into the swing of things, cataloging match videos, and just getting everything into the database, but I've started the work on that. I've started gathering tournament reels to start cataloging, and yeah, I'm excited. I'll be talking more about the specific plans for the site on the Day Zero update, but it feels good to be doing this again. And even though I can't be at Evo in Las Vegas this weekend, I'm actually watching it right now, and you know, keeping up with things there. So I'm just kind of immersing myself in the fighting game community once again as I get back into this. And other than that, I've just been reading more of this X-Men reboot that's going on in the comics right now.
And it is fucking awesome.
Yeah, you've been reading it too, so I'll save discussion for when we get to your portion. But yeah, that's been my week.
Mm-hmm. All right, Teresa, what about you?
Oh, I have been, I went downtown and I went on a yarn crawl, which is like a pub crawl, except you visit local yarn shops. And that was a very hot and sticky affair. It was unbelievably humid and hot downtown. And I made it to two stores and then went back home with someone who got sick. So that was interesting, to say the least. Chicago, you need to fix your shit with public transportation. I decided to rewatch My Name is Earl on a whim. And I probably shouldn't be watching it around my kid. Joy has taught him all sorts of wonderful new words in the past four episodes. But I like that I'm rewatching that. I needed some mind-numbing stuff, and that fits the bill. And it hasn't aged poorly. I mean, it's still, you know, it's still cool. And I mean, it's got Crabman, so that's awesome. We are still getting through Bobaverse. We took a road trip the day after the yarn crawl with sore legs and all, and listened to a little bit more. So we're kind of in the first third of the final book. And maybe we'll put it on tomorrow while we're painting our bathroom, because I want to listen to more of it. I kind of want to like slow burn on this one, like just burn through it really, really slowly, because I know that once it's over, it's over. And it's good. But I've been still playing Kingdom Two Crowns. I think I played a little Final Fantasy in here, in there, in here. You know what I'm trying to say, guys. Come on. And I've been playing too much of Bloons TD 6 on my phone, so I think I've just about exhausted what I want to do with that game, and I'll have to move on to something else. But it's a great way to stay up until 3 in the morning. So that's really about it for me.
Alright, Chris, what about you?
I went and saw The Lion King earlier this week. And it's really quite good. It's basically the original movie, just remade in CG.
Yeah, with some really different voices. But otherwise, yeah, it's pretty much the exact same movie.
Yeah, and it's really good.
Like CG. Almost frame for frame.
Yeah, they changed a few things, but Pumbaa doesn't say, "Call me Mr. Pig."
Mm-hmm.
That Aww. Line is not in there. But they do make a good joke, Disney reference in there.
Yeah,
in that little skirmish with the hyenas.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's some really good stuff there. That was a lot of fun to watch. And let's see. Around that same time, I was finally doing some like war gaming with Pokemon Go, looking for Team Go Rocket centers.
Oh,
which yeah. They happened to be. There was one that was like in the middle of downtown Massillon, where I found out, oh, they're doing major construction on that street. So, like, I had no way of getting to it, but I found a couple others. Problem was, my Pokemon bag was full. But it kept telling me my item bag was full. I was like, wait, I have, like, a bunch of space here. What the hell? Then I realized afterwards. At that point, I was like, it's too hot. I don't want to sit here driving around 80-degree weather.
Yeah.
Going after that stuff. And, yeah, that stuff's been pretty weird, because they throw some dudes have some really hard Pokemon
geez,
to beat.
They will kick your ass.
Yeah.
Like, some of them are really bad.
Yeah, if I'm lucky, you start with, like, a couple of, like, 1,000s, then it goes, like, 2,000. Like, that's not too hard. If I don't have any, it usually suggests you Pokemon that are probably pretty good counters.
Mm-hmm.
But then I get some that are like 2,000 to start, and it's like, oh shit, these guys, fuck this.
Mm-hmm. And it's really bad, because we're not getting a lot of healing potions and shit out of the Pokemon spins lately. Like, nobody's getting them around here. It's all just fucking Pokeballs. And so you wipe out, you know, like 9 people trying to do a rematch, 9 Pokemon, and you can't heal them up, or you can only heal them partially. And then when it auto chooses your team for you, you go in there with like your fucking Charizard, and he only has 25% health because you couldn't afford to heal him.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's been pissing me off pretty good. And it pissed me off worse because I didn't get the special research thing. I just kind of ignored it. And I went out all this week and was really rocking those Team Rocket things. And now I have to do it all over again because I still haven't defeated as many Team Rocket people as I need or caught as many whatever poison cursed afflicted something fucking Pokemon.
Shadow Pokemon, something like that.
Yeah, thank you.
They give you like special Pokeballs to get these.
Yeah.
I only get like four of them.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, here's a red and you got four shitty Pokeballs to get them.
Yeah, good luck fucking catching a Bulbasaur with that. So far, I don't think I've caught any of them on the Bulbasaurs. You can get the fucking Zubats, but who wants a Zubat?
Yeah. And then they have a special icon next to them if you cleanse them. Not the negative cleansing, but actually cleaning them or whatever. But
yeah, I don't know what's next or something, but I still have to defeat another Team Go Rocket Grunt. And then I still have three more sets of tasks for the special field research.
Yeah, I realized after I did the first one, I was like, this is probably going to be a goal. I should probably stop doing this for the next set, which I did. And then I stopped being able to get them. So that was real annoying. But yeah, that was pretty fun to mess around with.
For a bit. There is Rocket stop right by me. And it would be gone by the time I walk over there. Which is a pain in the ass thing about it. You know, you turn around and make a U-turn after you see one, and you get there, and it's fucking gone.
Yep. Yeah. And I got some new places so I can use them for gifts. Like a Sprint store.
Yep.
That's where one of the Team Go centers was.
Well, it's a good way to get people over there, because they're...
I mean, it was like 8 o'clock, so there's nobody there.
Yeah, Sprint stores and Starbucks.
Yeah.
And every fucking church you come across. And some
this had a gym, I think, right next to it, so I kept trying to click on the Team Go Rocket thing, and it kept giving me to the gym, so it was annoying the hell out of me. So I was glad to be out of there as soon as I got done with that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got like a new barbecue place that's on there. A few others, like small places around here, the backwoods of Massillon. But yeah, that game's all right. It's really stupid they picked Team Go Rocket, which is Team Rocket.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, you gotta get cute with this. Fuck off. They wear the same outfits, too. It's not like they're kidding anybody.
Yeah.
It's like, this is Team Rocket. Shut up. Just call them. It's not some brand that you can't like invoke. They're here to fucking take over people's Pokestops. For what end?
Is that what Team Rocket's always been about? Because I never
they want to steal people's Pokemon.
They want something about fighting the evils of truth and love. I never really got that part.
Well, those two have like a special relationship.
Yeah, no goddamn kidding.
There's a plenty
and, like,
of
like partner up
that.
For all this. They romanticize right? The whole thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, that never goes well for them.
No.
But I think they want to just steal Pokemon to eventually take over the world.
Something
they never
like
get
that.
Past the stealing Pokemon thing.
Yeah.
They just got some rich guy behind the scenes to keep them afloat because they're not doing anything else to make money.
They're basically like Red Ribbon Army, only somehow even more incompetent.
And yet a very relatable depiction of the involuntarily underemployed teenager.
Yeah, kinda.
And the way this is all kind of framed, it kind of feels like these are the Uber of Team Rocket.
Mm.
These are the Uber idiots. Like, here you go to this specific location, you hang out, beat people if they come by, sort of thing. It's real, real weird way they set that up, but that's been pretty neat. And been doing a lot of streaming this week. Sunday we had Doom, which Phil's nice enough to stop by and talk Doom for a couple hours as we played that.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice to kind of see the way the design evolved between their various campaigns they put out.
Yeah.
From, hey, here's three keys, you're going to need to get them all by the end of this level, to, hey, we got teleporters, and we're just going to have rooms that are just going to fucking screw you over.
Yep.
As much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Especially just, like, respawning enemies constantly into them.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, that was fun. Ended up beating the first campaign that I was on easy. So that wasn't too hard, but the other ones we tried, the harder difficulties, and some of those are just fucked.
Yeah, Nightmare is not remotely fair.
No.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, it's a pretty good version of that game. Has a couple of small issues, like if you get to the pick up a chainsaw, you can't unequip that to just use the fist.
Yeah, just annoying.
And like, you only have 6 save slots total, which isn't great. And if you're, you know, save scumming or just constantly reloading your save, it's a bit of a process to do that because you have to. It sometimes instantly reloads you at the beginning of the stage, the level. But then you have to go pause it, go into load, save, and then pick the right save, and it loads you into it. And if you die again, you have to do that over again. But sometimes it would just stay at the you're dead screen.
Yeah.
Which was real weird. And it's like, I never saw any rhyme or reason why that happened. So it seems like it has to be a bug of some sort.
Yeah, as I'm finding out, these ports aren't particularly great. So
but yeah, hopefully Bethesda cares enough to have the devs kind of keep working on it, make them better. Because that would be nice, even if they're only $5. But still, it's like your supposed definitive edition of these games on consoles.
Or you after could just get GZ to them, but you can't get that on consoles, unfortunately.
Yeah. At least not with the way Bethesda wants to do things.
No, you need to log in. Oops.
Yeah.
Why did they not catch that?
Oh, they did. They just didn't expect people to care. Yeah, people cared.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't realize on Switch nobody's... Probably most of the people that would buy Doom probably don't have Skyrim or Wolfenstein to already have that account set up there. So otherwise, it just logs you in and you're just good to go.
Mm-hmm.
But also, having that sort of thing on a system that isn't always guaranteed to be online is not great. Which also makes it weird why there are other online-only games on there. For a system where, like, okay, this is a game you cannot play unless you are at home or at work or whatever, you would have consistent internet access. But yeah, that was pretty fun. On Tuesday, I jumped into Days Gone and tried out some of their challenges they've been adding over the last month or so, which a lot of them are pretty cool. I think 2 of them were horde challenges where you have to take down the whole horde. The first one literally just has you like in the center of town and the zombies, or freakers as they call them, swarm over you, which I did not last more than maybe like 30 seconds. And that because part of it was I had not played in a while, so I had to sort of get my Days Gone legs under me. And the other one was just, it's really fucking hard to deal with like 300 freakers just swarming over you.
Oh, God.
Then the second one basically just has like this pit that's just full of these freakers.
Yep.
And so as you get on, like, figure out what your first move is going to be, they'll all just start coming after you. And after a couple tries, I eventually got to the point where I beat them all, took them all out, through lots of careful throws of Molotovs, setting up a couple of bombs around there, and just running a lot. Running past like a red barrel, explosive barrel, turning around as they start getting close to it and just shooting it, that sort of stuff. But I eventually got them all. But there's a couple that, 2 of them that are specifically about taking out human enemies. One I got into a really good groove with after a few tries, where they kind of just consistently send waves after you. They're just constantly swarming over you, trying to get the flank around you, all that sort of stuff. And I managed to get a silver medal on that. The other one I did not do as well with. It was kind of, you got this outpost, you have to sort of kill everybody in there. And like, one of the challenges, like, beat it in like 6 minutes. And after like 15 minutes, I was like, I'm not even halfway to these people. I'm not getting anywhere close to this. And the last one was just a bike challenge. Like, hey, hit all these specific points on this way, and do that as fast as you can, which I didn't do too bad on that. I just kept occasionally just crashing, having to get back on it and get around. But it's a lot of cool stuff they've been adding to that game. Some of these extra like leaderboard challenges and some of the rewards you get for doing well in them can feed back into the main game as you get these patches that you can equip there. Let's see, the Wednesday stream was Chasm. It was the 1 year anniversary of Chasm, so I did a stream playing that on hard and kind of getting a glimpse of sort of like what is actually different about repeat plays of this game. So yeah, there's core parts of the level design that are the same each time, despite being different seeds, just to kind of preserve like how you get certain upgrades and sort of how it teaches you how to use that stuff. Which is like a good, like maybe a third of the levels are about the same kind of areas. But the rest are kind of randomized. So like in the mines, there's three levels of the mines. Like the second one, for whatever reason in this seed was just, real short. It was like four or five rooms long. Versus I showed my other save and it's like, yeah, this is like 10 rooms long to get from the one end to the other to get down to the third level. And then I beat the boss on the first try because I had already done that, so I knew what I was doing. I didn't get the trophy for not getting hit, but I ended up doing pretty well otherwise. And yeah, it was a fun stream to do. The one I did yesterday was for a new game that just came out this week called Solo Islands of the Heart. Which is kind of a puzzle adventure game, I would say. You're kind of this sailor who is exploring these islands, archipelagos. I think it's three in the main game, as far as what the trophies were telling me. I got to about one and a half of them, and along the way, it's sort of asking you stories about your most recent like relationship. There's kind of like a romantic aspect to it where it's like asking about your thoughts on your relationship, your philosophy of love and all that sort of stuff. And it kind of adds this weird, kind of adds a weird bittersweet romantic element to it. Cause you're like seeing like the ghost of your relationship at points. And then you kind of work with that like ghost to solve some puzzles, stuff like that. It's kind of like a nice little pleasant chill game to play, and the puzzle stuff has, by the point where I was at, getting a bit more complex and challenging. Not hard, but just more fulfilling to figure out in some neat ways. And yeah, that game's pretty good. That's out on all the consoles now, as of this week. And on Saturday, we're going to be playing The Church in the Darkness. I got a code for that. That's going to be fun to play. I haven't started up yet, but I'm going to check it out beforehand. But I believe that is basically like a Metal Gear Solid style stealth game, but set in like a cult setting kind of thing. So I'm kind of interested to check that out. But that's been
what game is that?
The Church in the Darkness.
Oh yeah, it's basically a Jonestown simulator.
Yeah, it's one that's been in the works for several years now.
Yeah, I know. I remember seeing a preview of it on Game Informer, like way back in, I think, like 2015.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
I want to say it was Kickstarter, maybe?
Uh-huh.
Something like that. Yeah, it's like, oh, it's supposed to be out like early on this gen. But nope, it's coming out near the end. But yeah, I've been looking forward to checking that out, and I'm going to do that tomorrow on our stream.
All right.
That's been pretty much it.
All right. Well, first thing first for me, Fire Emblem. All day, every day. And it may be my game of the year. Yeah, it's that good. Obviously it's only August, so we still got a few months to go. But so far, this one's pretty high up there. I gotta tell you, this is probably like the one Fire Emblem game that has probably the best world building than any of them have had. And probably the best writing too. People are legitimately comparing this to like Genealogy of the Holy War, and for good reason.
That is a bold comparison.
Yeah. So, yeah, basically, Fire Emblem, Three Houses, everybody sort of knows by now how this works. Basically, you play this character, it can be either a boy or a girl, who is the child of this guy named Geralt, who is, in the start of the game, he's like a mercenary, and you're like his child, and so, you know, you do stuff out with him and stuff, and at the beginning of the game, as you're going out to clear out some bandits from like a local village, they end up intercepting members of the Officers Academy at the monastery. I think it's called Greg and Mock or something like that. I can never remember the name. It's a weird name like that, but basically it's like a big monastery where the head of the Church of Saros, which is like, you know, this game's sort of version of like the Catholic Church, is located, and they also have an officer's academy that's attached to it. And so, you know, you run into like members of that officer's academy, representatives of the three main houses. So for example, so you clear out the bandits and, you know, they give you their thanks. And, while you're there, Geralt ends up running into an old, accomplice of his, a guy named Aloy, who is a member of the Knights of Saros, which apparently Geralt originally was a member of. And, they decide, oh, good. What would you like to, we can't hire you on as like a member of the Church of Saros because you're still too young, but how would you like to come and work as a professor at the Officers Academy? Because there's actually like there, and the reason I found out part of the reason why is because apparently they're kind of short on them. There's only two of them at the Academy at that point. The third one has already quit and disappeared, which is, you know, concerning, I guess. Why would they just straight up disappear like that? So anyway, so he's like, okay, yeah, I'll go on. And so you end up going and you become the professor. And before you start, you have to pick which one of the three houses you're going to get behind. So in the game, there are three houses, the Black Eagles, the Blue Lions, and the Golden Deer. And each one of them represents one of the three major countries or nations or whatever you want to call it on the continent of Falsen, which is like where this game takes place. So basically there is, first of all, the Black Eagles, which represents the Adrestian Empire, which is very similar to sort of like the old Prussian Empire. They even have like a very similar like royal crest, and it's from like the 30 Years War, and or was it the 7 Years War? Yeah, it was the 7 Years War. And they are led by a girl by the name of Edelgard, who is the next in line to become emperor. Then there is the Blue Lions, which represents the Holy Kingdom of Fargus, which is basically representative of Tsarist Russia. And they're led by Prince Dmitri, who is the next to be in line to be crowned king. And then there is the Golden Deer, which represents the Lester Alliance. And the Lester Alliance is sort of representative of the various merchant republics of, like, Italy. You know, like the old Renaissance era, and then also combined with, like, the Kingdom of England. Mm-hmm. And they don't actually have a king. They have a council of nobles that basically decides everything. And so basically you decide at the beginning which one of these houses you wanted to choose. I ended up going with the Black Eagles. So that happens. And basically what happens is You divide your time between stuff that you do before a main mission. So basically you get like a month, and then you get maybe 2 to 3 weeks before the main mission happens. And what you can do in between that time is, first of all, the main one is like doing your lecture, because again, you're a professor. So you've got a bunch of students, you know, your class, and you basically can tutor them either on an individual level or on a automatic level where the game just kind of parses out stuff on its own. And basically you can only do like, depending on where you are in the game, you can only like individually tutor so many people at a time. And then you can also, there's like a side one where you can like get like two of your students to go on a group activity that helps like build up the bond between them, so that, you know, when they're on the battlefield, you know, that buffs up each other's stats, right? And so you do that, and then in between the time before that, before your lecture and your mission, you can do stuff like you can explore, where you can go around the actual monastery itself and talk to all the various characters from both your and the other houses, as well as the faculty and the staff and the local knights, some of the local people at the marketplace, stuff like that. It's very, very Trails of Cold Steel. literally every person has like their own little story arc to go along with. There's even like mechanics of like going out and like finding stuff that they lost and then bringing back to them, so that it'll like get their, you'll get up better on their better side as the game goes along. There's also stuff like activities like training, going to the choir practice, which is something that some of the more musically aligned members of your staff can do. There's also like meal time, where you can get a special meal prepared with two of your other students to help, you know, get their bonds and also increase your rank as a professor. There's also cooking classes, stuff like that. There's also fishing, which again, I'm really thinking that somebody who worked on this game either used to be with Falcom, or these guys are heavily influenced by Falcom, because again, Trails of Cold Steel all over this game. And then, of course, there's the actual battle. And, you know, since these people are, you're in an officer's academy, and therefore you're training to be soldiers and officers, obviously they have to actually go out on the battlefield. And that's where, you know, where everybody remembers from Fire Emblem, where that part comes in. It's the tactical, top-down fighting. They have sort of changed up a couple things this time. For one thing, that whole weapons triangle that they used to have, yeah, it's gone. The weapons triangle is not a thing anymore. It's more now based on like what class beats what other class and how powerful your weapon is. They've also added a new thing called the battalion, where you can go into the marketplace and you can like purchase a battalion for both yourself and your students. And there's like different kinds of battalions. There's like mercenary battalions, there's knights, there's like mage battalions that'll like help boost your magic stats when you're using them, especially if you're using them with like a mage that you've got on your, that it'll like give them like these enormous, like big spells for what they call the Gambit, which is like the big special move related to whatever battalion you have. And yeah, that's pretty much it. There's also like the subplot of the fact that there's this thing named Sothis that for whatever reason has decided that they like you, or for some reason they're just hanging around you in your dreams. It takes the form of this little girl with giant green hair, because, you know, Japan. And she's weird. I don't know what she's supposed to be. I have my idea. But and then there's this weird, this evil faction called Those Who Go in the Darkness. And also there's this guy named the Red Emperor, who I think, I'm not entirely sure, but I have a suspicion it might be it might be someone in the faculty, or it might be even one of the leaders of the three houses. Just, I'm not entirely sure. But, yeah, it's an amazing game. Everybody, if you haven't played it yet and you don't have a Switch, go get a Switch and play it. It's amazing.
Basically.
Yeah. It is great. It is genuinely amazing. Other than that, well, books, as usual. I've gotten back into the light novel thing again and started reading this series. It's called 86, which is, yeah, how to describe 86. Basically, 86 is a... It's a military sci-fi story, and it's basically about this these two countries, one called the Republic of San Magnolia and the Gaudian Empire, who have been attacking the Republic with these unmanned drones that are called the Legion. So eventually the Republic themselves finally developed their own line of autonomous drones to go fight them. Here's the thing, though. The drones that they call unmanned aren't actually unmanned.
Oh.
Yeah, and the ones who actually pilot them are the people that live in the area in between the Republic and the Empire, called, which is called the 86th Sector. Do you guys know what 86 means in military lingo?
Kill.
Exactly. It's damn good. And I'm glad I finally found one, because I swear to God, if I ran into another isekai story, I was going to sink all of the islands of Japan into the flood. Like, seriously. I am so sick of that shit.
Alrighty.
God damn you, Sword Art Online, and the shit you unleashed upon us. But, yeah. And other than that, anime, I finished Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yes.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
You're still here.
And I'm now in the middle of End of Evangelion, and holy shit, does it hit the fan there.
Yeah.
Like, you thought that, you know, Evangelion was apocalyptic, just the regular series? Fuck no. Everything goes south in the movie. Because finally you realize exactly what it is these people have been trying to do this whole time. And just how much of an asshole that, you know, Mr. Ikari actually is.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just say you won't quite complain as much about Shinji being a little pussy anymore after you watch it. Because he kind of has a reason.
People still do, but...
Well, I mean, yeah. They still do, but they're wrong.
Yeah.
Also, you know, you don't have the old voice actors anymore, so it isn't quite as whiny.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, after that, I'm probably start up SSSS Gridman again, but, you know, because I only watched the first couple episodes of that one.
I have to check that out.
Yeah. Also, I've been looking into, like, what Studio Trigger is going to be doing coming up next. So apparently, like, the next thing they're doing, their next series, which is supposed to come out next year, is a series called BNA, Brand New Animal. They're bringing back, you know, the old guard that made Kill la Kill. So, you know, Kazuki Nakashima is going to be there, the original director, you know, is going to be also there. Kind of reminds me of, okay, so I probably should have mentioned this during when I was talking about the books just a minute ago. You guys ever heard of a manga called Beastars? You may have heard of it if you've looked it into the, okay. Beastars is basically, Japanese adult Zootopia.
Okay.
That's about it. like, it's literally got a lot of the same themes and everything. You know, that whole thing about, like, carnivores and herbivores and how they get along in a modern society.
Yeah.
But it gets much darker than Zootopia could ever hope to.
Because Japan.
Yeah, because Japan. And there's like a bunch of, so like the main character is this guy named Lugosi, who is a wolf, and you know, he's a nice guy, but he's also a wolf. So he, you know, he spends a lot of his time kind of isolated, trying to be, you know, show everybody's like, no, I'm a nice guy. I don't want to hurt anybody, but he's still a wolf and he's got that in him. So every so often, if you piss him off, you know, he'll tear you to shreds. And so like, he's like the main, and like, he's like the main character, and that's sort of like, that's like one of the main things of the story, is that it's these, you know, like the big carnivore animals are like, look, we're trying to be like carnivores in a modern society, but we still got that carnivore part of us in us, and we got to find ways to let it out in a healthy way that, you know, doesn't result in hundreds of dead, mutilated bodies. Yeah. Oh, and his girlfriend is a little bunny rabbit chick, and she is a whore, but that's another thing. But anyway, so yeah, that's about it for me.
All right.
Anybody got anything they want to add before we move on?
No, I'm good.
All right. Well then, it's now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. So a lot of us are like 80s and 90s kids, right? You know, yeah. We all grew up in the 80s and the 90s, and
yeah. There
was a lot of stuff about the 80s and 90s that were pretty cool, you know? Video mm-hmm. games became a thing. MTV still showed music videos.
Laser tag was a cool thing.
True. You know, we also had Heelys. Togs.
Yeah.
Wow, we would... Now that I think about it, man, we were weirdly, like, both very wealthy and yet also really poor at the same time.
Yeah, we had Slinkies, which were basically just loose springs that might or might not make it downstairs.
Yeah, but there was also another thing about living in the 80s that sucked, like Ronald Reagan being president, televangelists, and of course, the one thing that culminates in both of those, living through the Satanic Panic.
Oh,
the Satanic Panic. What fun times those were.
Oh, everybody was denouncing the Smurfs.
Yes, or, you know...
Dungeons and Dragons.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Don't let your cats out. They've all got to stay indoors.
Fucking satanic ritual abuse and all that shit. People putting razors in the Halloween candy. Which, by the way, I did a thing about that a while back. It was mostly bullshit.
Yeah.
But then it would also extend to, like, just regular mainstream shit. Because the thing was, the way the Satanic Panic worked is it basically gave birth to its own, like, little industry that was entirely based around trying to make up these new conspiracy theories about evil satanic forces that were trying to infiltrate you and your home and your children. And they would do just basically everything to find ways, because just even the most tenuous of links. So like the barcodes, for example. Barcodes. If you ever noticed the barcodes, you know how there's like the three big bars that extend all the way to the top? One in the one over on the left, one over on the right, and one that's usually dead center.
Mm-hmm.
You ever notice that they're usually sixes? Can you take a wild guess where they got that idea? Or let's see what else. He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
Hmm.
Yeah. And for that one, there was like a there's this thing called there was this guy from back in the 80s. I can't remember what his name was, but he put out this video with this dude called Deception of a Generation, and it was basically trying to find all these tenuous connections between Satanism and the occult and quote-unquote Eastern mysticism to everything from He-Man to the Smurfs. Yes.
Hmm.
There's one instance I want to bring up today because of how fucking stupid it is.
They're not all fucking stupid?
Oh, they're all fucking stupid, but this one is...
Particularly fucking stupid.
Particularly fucking stupid. Especially when you find out where this came from. Well, we've all heard of it. We've all heard of a company by the name of Procter & Gamble, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Procter & Gamble. Consumer goods, what do they make? They make just about everything.
Yeah, if you live in the real world, you've done business with them.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they make cleaning agents, personal health care, diagnostics, stuff like that. And they've also been around for like a long, long time. They were originally founded in 1837. So they've been around a while. But... So here, and for those of you who don't know, back in the old days when, you know, you had to transfer stuff mostly by ship, a lot of these companies had to come up with, like, their own special seals or stuff, because most of these sailors or the people that worked on the wharfs tended to be illiterate and they couldn't read, so you came up with, like, a particular symbol for them. And, of course, for many, many years, in fact, up until very recently, starting from 1851 until the early 90s, Procter & Gamble actually had a logo. Let me show it to you. Because, you know, if you look at their logo now, it's just like a generic P&G in a blue circle, right? But their original logo looked like this. This right here. And so you look in there, it's basically, it's like a model of like a man in the moon type of image. You know, we're all familiar with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the stars. If you count, there's 13 of them because it's the 13 original colonies. Because, again, it was a country that was born in the United States company.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, fine. Everything's fine. In fact, it looks a lot like kind of like Victorian kitsch if you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very – not terribly threatening or anything. It's just, you know, rather nice, I think. Hell, it looks like something somebody would get a tattoo of in today, if you want to be honest. But then in the 1980s, there was the story that started spreading around, whether it was through word of mouth or chain letters or, you know, some random douchebag on the Christian Broadcasting Network coming on and claiming that, and usually the story goes like this. The current president and CEO, or sometimes even just the founder, because again, none of these motherfuckers, you know, people don't fucking care about history with this shit, decided that he had gone on to the Sally Jesse Raphael show, or the Phil Donahue show. It usually tends to change depending on what year they're telling the story. And he goes on the show and he tells the host that all of their thanks is due to the fact that he sold his soul to the devil. And that all of his stuff and everything they do is meant to honor their Lord Satan and all of the great wealth he has given them. And the evidence that they use of this, on top of this aforementioned supposedly happening, it didn't happen, interview is that very logo I just gave you.
Okay.
Specifically, they make a reference to Revelations 12:1, which states, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her a crown of 12 stars." Again, it's 13 stars, not 12. In fact, then they would go further, saying it's a mockery of the heavenly symbol because they added an extra star. Also, if you look closely into the man in the moon's beard, look down at the curls at the very bottom. What's it kind of look like?
A unicorn horn.
Yeah. Look a little closer, or maybe even reflect it or turn it upside down, and suddenly it becomes 666.
Oh, God. That's really reaching.
Yeah. And so, for years, for many, many years, and for pretty much all of the 1980s, basically, these chain letters would happen. There would be boycotts announced. There were threats of violence. And there was even made supposedly tenuous connections to the Church of Satan, which, for the record, neither believes actually in any deity whatsoever and has no connection to this company whatsoever. But Eventually, it got so bad that finally they dropped the logo in 1989 and replaced it with the various, you know, generic logo that you know of today. So, yeah, really fucking stupid, right?
And this is why we can't have nice things.
Yeah. Plus, it was the 80s, and the 80s were like this weird time. Like, we did – technology had advanced a great deal, but we didn't quite have the internet yet. So – there was this weird sort of time when, like, crazy shit like this would spread. And technically, some of that stuff still spreads like that even today, but not so much the satanic shit, right?
Mm.
Like, that stuff is basically gone. You know, unless you're talking to, like, the crazy Alex Jones fringe. Which is surprisingly larger than it really should be.
Yeah.
And but here's the funny, here's where the funny part comes from. Do you know where these rumors actually started? Because believe it or not, there's actually a paper trail that can trace us back to where it actually started. Turns out, it was one of Procter & Gamble's competitors.
Shocking.
Mm. Want to know what competitor it was?
Kimberly-Clark.
Nope. Not Amway.
Oh!
Yeah. They actually founded the rumors and then intentionally started spreading them in the 80s.
Hmm.
Now, for those of you who don't know what Amway is, Amway is basically a pyramid scream with a Christian cross on top of it.
Yeah, they're pieces of shit is what they are.
Yeah, they're basically the real-life version of Cobra Command.
Yeah.
It's true.
And one of the heirs to the Amway fortune just so happens to be our current head of the Department of Education.
Oh. Sorry. Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. But eventually, you know, then Columbine happened in the late 90s, and I think that was probably, like, the peak of this shit.
Mm.
And then, of course, 9/11 happened, and suddenly we had new boogeyman to be scared of.
Yeah. Anyone that wasn't white.
Or
and
Christian.
And video games.
Mm.
Well, yeah, and video games. Mm. Although... yeah, the video game thing kind of, you know, obviously the video game thing basically is like a dead end now.
Yeah, but after Columbine, man, they just really...
Well, I was in middle school when Columbine happened. Yeah, I know what it was like to grow up in that shit. It sucked.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been yet another edition of Brandon's Random Factoid. Now, aren't you glad you weren't born in the 90s? Because we had to live with that shit. Well, now with that out of the way, it's now time to move on to the show proper. And as always, we have to start with our assholes of the week. And our assholes of the week are this one fucking hacker who got into Capital One and actually threatened to shoot up the social media company. A social media company. Although, you know, considering how Facebook has been growing.
Probably then, yeah.
Well, we're getting there. But yeah.
Part of the hack was compromise like up to 100 million cards and applications, which is pretty huge.
Mm-hmm.
I think Alex Quevedo said he was probably one of those people because he just got one recently. So yeah, it was... great timing for him.
Great. That's okay. Equifax lost his data long ago.
Yep, the hacker, though, is a former Seattle software engineer, identified as person one in this motion to detain her housemate. And the quote here is, as law enforcement was aware, person one was the subject of one or more restraining orders and had made express threats to harm others and herself. In fact, in late May 2019, Person 1 had threatened to shoot up the office of a California social media company.
Mm.
So she very much is a nice person herself.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a bad hack.
Oh, yeah.
Although, still, it kind of makes you wonder what kind of security they did have for this to actually be possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then again, it's like, well, Equifax and...
You can only prepare for so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's going to be gaps in the system no matter how much you prepare.
Mm. Yeah, when they raided the house that she lived in with her housemate, they found, let's see, several assault rifles, sniper rifle, handguns. Some of the guns were loaded, including one with a high-capacity magazine. Some of them appear to be illegal firearms, as well as bump stocks in there as well. Mm. So, you know, a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
All around in this.
Mentally disturbed individual.
I'm also going to say drug addled, too, because I'm looking at this picture, and this has got meth written all over it.
Mm.
Or crack cocaine, one of the two, maybe both. Or heroin, God. Mm.
Yeah. So she hacked Capital One. That's no good.
Nope. Mm. But fortunately, we got something good to top it with, because, as all of you probably know, our president decided to attack the city of Baltimore this week.
And that went well.
Yeah, it basically backfired on him. Mm. Because, well, for one thing, he specifically attacked Elijah Cummings.
Mm.
You know, the civil rights pioneer and famous activist who is famously in a photo getting mauled by a guard dog from a racist white police officer.
Mm.
Yeah, that's the guy you want to start a fight with.
Yep.
But basically just the entire city of Baltimore decided, and all the people who may have one time lived there, basically said, yeah, fuck you, Donald. people on CNN, actual journalists, basically just would cut in the middle of whatever they were saying. It's like, you know what? Fuck this guy. I grew up there. You don't know shit about that city.
Yep. Use terms like, let's see, infested. Let's see,
crime disgusting,
disgusting rat and rodent infested mess. If he spent more time in Baltimore, maybe he'd help clean up this very dangerous and filthy place. Even basically going to say, no human being would want to live there. Where is all this money going? How much is stolen? Investigate this corrupt mess immediately.
Oh my God.
And it's like, there's tons of people that live there.
Mm-hmm.
But also the Baltimore Sun wrote a very scathing article basically tearing him down.
Mm-hmm.
Trump's Twitter blast at Cummings in Baltimore started during the 7 o'clock hour Saturday morning after Republican strategist Kimberly Classic on the Fox News show Fox and Friends called Cummings District the most dangerous in America.
And let's be honest, at this point, if something happens on Fox and Friends, he's going to talk about it, because we now know for a fact that he watches that show religiously.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Let's see. Cummings District, which includes a large part of Baltimore, is not the most dangerous in America, according to the FBI. It ranks the city as a whole as the third most dangerous in the nation. Cummings District, which, like the city, is majority black, has more college graduates than the country overall, and a median income of above $50,000.
Yeah.
But the claim of worst is exactly the kind of disinformation Trump traffics in on a daily basis. The sick symbiosis between Trump and the reckless right-wing chatter and political propaganda on Fox and Friends has been well documented, in some cases by Trump himself voicing his love of the show. The attack on Cummings is not unexpected. Just keep going on. Here, let's see. Cummings showed more of that Old Testament righteousness and fury in a hearing last week with Kevin McAllen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, about the concentration camps that we're running on the border.
Yeah, he assailed him over the Homeland Security's irresponsible and cruel failure to properly keep track of children, aside from their parents. I'm talking about human beings. Cummings thundered down from his seat as chairman of the Oversight Committee. These are human beings. Human beings just trying to live a better life. That's what Trump was obviously referring to as bullying by Cummings. Mm. The chairman giving voice to his moral outrage instead of remaining silent in the face of human suffering, as Vice President Mike Pence recently did on a visit to the border. Cummings said more than once from his pulpit on the Oversight Committee that we are better than this, better than the racist, hateful tweets of our president, better than the lies and hush money payoffs made by the president's lawyer, better than mistreatment of young children that finds them sitting in their own feces in the cages at the border. I know this. Most of us want to believe that we are better than the ugly, unmitigated racism the president has shown through tweets like those today. We fought a civil war to prove it. You sent federal troops into the South to desegregate high schools and colleges to prove it. Civil rights workers, black, white, and brown, suffered terrible beatings, incarceration, in some instances death to prove it. Yet here we are today with the president using social media and the greater power of his office to try to bend back the arc of justice for the nation to a state of global disgrace.
Yeah, that's a blasting.
Mm-hmm. Talking about putting someone on blast. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Has even gone on to, came out that Cummings Home was broken into just before Trump was tweeting about that shit. But his response was basically like, oh no, your house got broken into. Too bad.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah, he's doing a wonderful job of making sure that people don't want to vote for him, but, you know, he has his base. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we just have to make sure that his base is outnumbered by everybody else.
Yes.
And this is the part of the show where we remind everybody, go vote in November of next year.
Yeah.
But anyway. So, all right. So, moving on from there, we now start the proper show proper. And unfortunately, we have to start with a celebrity death. Legendary voice actor Russi Taylor passed away this week from colon cancer. Russi Taylor was the modern voice of Minnie Mouse. If you heard her, Minnie, in pretty much any Disney production or adjacent production, you were hearing her voice. She was also the original voice of Huey, Dewey, and Louie. Actually a lot of characters on DuckTales. And yes, she played those characters in Kingdom Hearts as well.
Mm-hmm.
She was also various characters on The Simpsons.
Yeah, Martin Prince, the twins Sherry and Terry,
mm-hmm.
And a bunch of others. I think Uter and a bunch of others.
Mm. Yep.
And yeah, one of the things that I was kind of surprised to learn is that her husband, ironically, was the voice of Mickey from 77. To 2009 when he died.
Yeah.
So, like, literally, they were that couple.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. Was he actually... No, I guess he was, like, maybe the second or third person to voice Mickey.
Yeah.
Because, as you know, remember, originally it was Walt Disney himself who voiced Mickey. Then he died in the 60s, so I guess they had someone else in the meantime.
Mm.
But, yeah. But yeah, that's sad, but she left a hell of a legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And much of it is still available. So, you want to watch old DuckTales or classic Simpsons? Well, yeah. I mean, that's a hell of a legacy to leave behind.
Yeah, and do watch old DuckTales because they still hold up.
Oh, yeah.
Don't get me wrong, the reboot is awesome.
Mm.
Yeah.
In several different ways, but the original is... so good, you almost forget that it was originally an afternoon cartoon show on TV.
Yeah.
Like, that's the amount of quality they put into that show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's irony that her other big show, The Simpsons, is now part of Disney.
Yep.
Like the rest of her work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, anyway, okay. Okay, so, first things first. We had the Democratic... debates again this week. And the topic of student loan forgiveness has become a big topic now, because most of the modern Democratic nominees are proposing some form of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people are kind of realizing now that this is a massive, like, drain on our economy, and it's almost reaching critical mass.
Yeah.
And if we don't do something about it, it might, well, I mean, let's be honest. It'll stunt the economy. I was going to say it was going to crash the economy, but we're already on the road to that one. So,
yeah, basically like a huge chunk of your, adult population has such huge loans
that limit what they can do with the
money they do earn.
Yeah.
I'm in year 22.
Can't get a car or a house.
Yeah.
You know, shit like that. Either because you don't have the money or the credit rating, you know?
Well, I think of all the things that I could have been spending this money on. I'm in year 22 of repayment.
Yeah.
22.
And it's like, I'm sure along the way that debt has been sold to other companies.
Probably about six times, seven times over.
So it's like, oh, here's six companies that have your personal information.
Yeah.
Hopefully secured, but probably not.
Well, for the private loans, you fucking know it. Yeah. The federal ones, no. The federal
ones. And then there's the fact when they get into the company that hires out debt collectors.
Yep.
The absolute scum of the earth. Debt collectors.
Yeah.
In the United States.
The Last Week Tonight episode about debt collectors.
Oh, yeah.
Those are some awful people.
Awful, 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 awful people. But, yeah, so all of them have put him out, including arguably one of the front runners, Kamala Harris, has put out her student loan forgiveness program, and it kind of sucks.
Yeah, everything about her sucks. She can suck. Sorry, I don't like her.
Not a fan.
I'm also not a fan either.
Yeah.
Yeah. The big issue with this plan is there's a lot of caveats to getting this relief, which is you have to be a Pell Grant recipient. Though I saw people suggesting, like, or at least like people of that level of income, I guess.
Yeah, and for the record, just to, I want to that's already bullshit right there, because Pell Grant has like such specific like terms that you have to be with that it already cuts out a good chunk of the people who need this.
Well, and did you have to be a Pell Grant recipient every semester you attended college?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not always available year to year.
No.
Yeah. And it's not really something you pay back either.
No.
But the grant.
Yeah. But yeah, also, you have to start a business in a disadvantaged community.
Oh, fuck her.
And manage to keep that business afloat for at least 3 years. Then
yeah, she didn't really care much about that disadvantaged community when she was running them into jail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and but death row. Never mind the notion that people that start businesses, the vast majority of them shut down within 3 years.
Yeah.
So, and you'll probably take loans to facilitate your ability to do that. It's like, okay, you do this, you take down loans, you go even further into debt. Now you get, let's see, what's the reward? $20,000 of student debt forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
Yay.
So you get one of your debts taken down a little bit.
Hmm.
If you're lucky.
Yeah.
God. Yeah, but she's not the only one who's proposing stuff like this. So I'm kind of wondering if you're just seeing a bunch of different flavors of the same thing being proposed, and whatever ends up happening gets refined at the end of it.
It's a bunch of flavors of, oh, we're going to claim that we do this, so people vote for us, but we're really not going to fucking do it except for maybe 2% of the people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a high possibility as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a good tweet here they have embedded in here. It's, what do you want? Student loan forgiveness for Pell Grant recipients. When do we want it? After operating a business for 3 years in disadvantaged communities.
That doesn't really work as a chant, does it?
No, it doesn't work as a plan either.
Exactly. No, it doesn't. Yeah. I also loved during the debates where pretty much where Tulsi Gabbard basically put her on blast for her record as AG of California.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It was pretty sweet.
Hmm.
Yeah, though now it's kind of backfired because she's the darling of Republicans.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, they're – okay. So there's
God damn it.
There's a downside to hers. The Republicans want her to do well, which is okay. Hmm. All right, get out of here, Tulsi.
Because she's another – they think she's another Hillary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that she'll be easily beat.
Mm.
I don't think she's going to get that far anyway, but
– No, I think Warren is probably going to go all the way through that, to be honest. But.
Yeah. Her and Biden – and I know Sanders is.
Yeah.
Sanders is in it for the long haul.
Yeah.
Probably Mayor Pete too.
I think Warren might end up paying the price for endorsing against Sanders in the primaries last time.
But it also might mean that she'll get the vice president nominee. So
you never know.
Yeah, it could be Sanders Warren or Warren Sanders. I'm okay with either.
Yeah,
I mean, I would be fucking chuffed. It would be great.
Be honest, it could be fucking Biden, and I'll still vote for him. Because,
well, yeah, but it doesn't need to be Biden.
Yeah, it ultimately comes down to blue no matter who, but...
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are different shades of blue, and some of them are more desirable than others.
Yes. Well, and the Republicans are really pushing Biden. The media outlets are really pushing Biden because they're pretty sure that Trump will be able to beat him.
Yeah, I can see that, too.
At the very least, they're pretty sure that Biden will fuck it up himself.
Hmm.
Yeah, he's very wishy-washy.
Hmm. Yeah. Plus, he's just old as all fuck.
Yeah.
I mean,
granted,
yeah.
Bernie is, too, but unlike Biden, Bernie has been consistent the whole time, so...
Yeah. Yeah, Bernie, he's going to fucking stroke out over healthcare. But, yeah. You know, it's if you're going to pick something to fight for, geez, yeah. Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
Why am I up here? I'm going to talk about this shit, you fucking morons!
I wrote
like that
bill.
Bit with the arms up in the air thing.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, I was just listening. I didn't watch. Did he really?
Yeah, he did it a couple times.
Oh, shit.
He kept saying it. It's like, calm down. Don't make... Bernie, do
like you don't have to. It was what was it? Tim Ryan. He's like, yeah. You don't have to yell, Bernie. And I think just like collectively, 30% of America was like, yeah, well, fuck you too.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So yeah. Next up, here's some good news. California. New California law is requiring that if you want to be on the primary ballot in 2020, you're going to have to release your tax returns.
Hooray.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I don't know. We had to make that a law in the first place. We shouldn't have had to, but.
Here we fucking are.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the way it is right. Sorry about that. But the way it is right now, it's like everybody under the president has to. So why shouldn't he? You know?
Yeah, right.
Yep. It's true.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and yes, yeah, since he's going to be on the primary, he has to release his tax returns or he will not be allowed on the ballot.
Hmm.
Now, of course, that doesn't mean that people won't go in and write in his name en masse, because
mm-hmm.
we know his fucking base.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there's also that thing of whether or not they actually spell it correctly.
Yeah, that could be a thing.
Mm. But, yeah, so, anyway, next up, Jeffrey Epstein, he's a scumbag and he's in jail right now, and I'm glad about that.
Ooh.
And so, you know, he's currently on trial, and we now know, amongst other things, like, the amount of evidence that's going to be against him is over 1 million pages long.
What?
Yeah.
He was busy.
Yeah, he's been up to some serious shit. It also made me realize now where I think he got a lot of his money, which is blackmail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, amongst other things, we now realize that apparently Epstein had this weird scheme where he was hoping to impregnate as many women as he possibly could in order to develop a new super race of humans.
That is grandiose delusion taken to a new extreme.
Yeah. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, in the aftermath of his 2008 sex trafficking conviction, Epstein hoped to seed the human race with his DNA by impregnating women at his ranch in New Mexico. One of his properties where young women, including minors, were allegedly abused. Though there is little evidence the scheme ever progressed beyond fantasy, prominent scientists, including the late Stephen Hawking, regularly attended dinners, lunches, and conferences held by Epstein. Yeah, he's... people are like very weird, wondering what the hell was up with this island he has that was supposed to be set up for like music festivals or some shit, and nothing ever really happened with it. So it's like, okay, what the hell is this island about? Stuff like that. Epstein told scientists and businessmen about his ambition to use his New Mexico ranch as a base where women would be inseminated with his sperm and would give birth to his babies. Perception's goal would have 20 women at a time impregnated at his 33,000 square foot Zorro Ranch in a tiny town outside Santa Fe. Epstein's field of study was labeled transhumanism, but was an updated version of eugenics. Lawyer Alan Dershowitz, who defended Epstein in 2008 and has been named in a civil suit brought by Epstein accuser Virginia Guffrey, told the Times he was appalled by the financier's interest in genetic manipulation, given the
about that Dershowitz
in the 1930s.
Yeah, that thing
I know
about
that name.
Yeah, Dershowitz, by the way, he was originally one of the guys that got OJ off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lol. But it also came out recently from an op-ed he wrote back in the late 90s, where he basically was saying that modern age of consent laws are bullshit. And before you're saying, and before you say, well, maybe he was talking about like the Romeo and Juliet laws that we have now. And like, and you know, if you were, if that was the case, it'd be like, yeah, that would be the case. No, no, that isn't what he's talking about. He's talking about wanting to have sex with a very mature or consenting 16-year-old girl. Those are his words, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's not looking good.
Can we maybe get the warden to, like, misplace the key? And just,
yeah.
Yeah.
Then, like, lose the number to the locksmith?
Mm. Yeah.
Also, by the way, Alan Dershowitz is one of the guys that came up with the legal arguments for using, quote-unquote, enhanced interrogation techniques.
Mm.
So he's just a scumbag all around.
Yeah, yeah, basically seeing him describes, like, the human personification of the devil's advocate.
No, I'm actually pretty sure the devil wouldn't be okay with any of this.
Yeah.
So.
Probably not.
Yeah. All right. So, next up, that 9/11 first responders funding bill was finally signed into law by President Trump this week.
Because he had no other choice.
Because he had no other choice. And then he tried to make it all about him.
Huge surprise.
Spoiler alert, Trump was nowhere near Ground Zero during 9/11. He watched the whole thing happen from Trump Tower.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the only thing he did that day was basically, like, do, like, calls to TV shows that were calling for his opinion on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the most he did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are still on YouTube.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, he basically said, let's see. Yeah, I was down there also, but I'm not considering myself a first responder, but I was down there.
Oh,
I spent a lot of time down there with you.
Sorry.
No, no, you're completely
first responder.
You guys are
such delusions.
Yeah.
Well, not delusion, it's compulsive liar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's about him wanting to be the center of everything.
Self-aggrandizing, you know, yeah, crap going on here.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, there is a difference between the two.
Trump concluded his remarks on Monday by inviting 9/11 first responders and their families to surround him while he signed the bill. Going on to muse that, I don't know if this stage will hold all the people, but if it doesn't, we are not falling very far. Rather inappropriate thing to say, given that all that much of the death and destruction from the attacks came as a result of structures collapsing. We'll give this stage a shot. Let's see how well built it is.
Just can he shut up for 5 seconds?
No,
he can't.
That's literally
that's
his
the problem.
Thing.
He literally
he's a bullshitter.
He silence to him is poison. That's why he has to insert himself into everything.
I mean, if you think about it, when you see him at rallies, when he's not speaking, he's making weird expressions
and gestures and
yeah.
You can
walking
look up tons
around
of, of him like just doing weird shit. You're like, fucking just talk. This is weirder than the talking.
Yeah,
just stop doing that with your face. Let's just put a bag over your head and you can talk, okay?
But,
put over his head and take him snipe hunting.
Is Dick Cheney doing the sniping?
I was going to suggest like take him out to the Jersey Shore and say, "Yeah, there's a hooker for you. It's off at the end of that door at the end of the long pier over yonder."
Way over yonder.
Because apparently he can't swim.
Oh wow! Such a surprise.
To be fair, I can't swim either.
Yeah, I'm feeling called out here.
I don't think there's many scenarios where he would have been near water and wanted to get in.
No, wait a minute. You guys were never rowed out into a lake when you were 6 and tossed in, like literally John Wayne style?
No.
Oh.
That sounds like child abuse.
Nah, he was an okay
but
guy.
Also completely understandable for John Wayne. But
my stepdad wasn't John Wayne. And he also wasn't going to let me drown, but, you know, that's a legitimate way to learn how to swim, I suppose.
We just had swimming courses in school. I mean,
I went to grade school in the U.S., so we never had anything that nice.
So, okay.
Awkward. All right. Okay. By the way, speaking of compulsive lying and bullshit, Trump also promised that if reelected, he's going to cure cancer and AIDS. And then, of course, that rally, which apparently was at Cincinnati, he basically yelled about wind bills for a while because, you know, the evils of wind power.
Which he doesn't even know what a windmill is.
Mm. Yeah, I don't
those
think
are wind turbines.
Mm. Exactly.
Windmills. Windmills are over in Europe.
Mm. Well, windmills are specifically made to mill.
Yeah.
Like grain, well, corn, whatever.
At the end of a hole in mini golf.
Mm. Yeah. Or they're all over Holland. Mm. Like,
yeah. They said, if a windmill is within 2 miles of your house is practically worthless. They make noise. They're
into
wind. They kill your birds. They break down all the time. You have to replace them every 10 years because they wear out. They cost a fortune, and they need subsidy. Other than that, they're quite good.
Lies and more lies.
You hear that? Yep. They're noisy. They have a lot of problems. Give you cancer because he thinks that as well.
Wow.
The only words he got right is they're quite good.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. So we could edit that rally and just take out all of that and then it would be true.
Only thing about it is the thing about the wind turbines killing birds. And the thing is, they fucking deserve it. Because if you're stupid enough to fly into a wind turbine when you've got all of that sky and atmosphere in between, maybe you deserve to die.
Stupid game, stupid prizes.
Yeah.
Next.
That goes for the animal kingdom as well.
Yes.
I mean, Trump is the king of stupid games.
He even had a stupid board game. Yes, he did.
Yeah.
And it is a very good reflection of his personality, believe it or not. Anyway.
The cancer he was talking about was childhood cancer.
Yeah. Also, during this rally, a 28-year-old Trump supporter got out of a trunk. Got out of his truck to punch a 61-year-old protester.
And his first protest, basically.
Yeah, literally his first protest. He wasn't doing anything. He was just there with a sign.
Mm-hmm.
Who gets out of his truck and punches him.
Yep. The best thing is that as he was getting arrested by the cops, the people around him were basically yelling, "Lock him up! Lock him up!"
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is... Yeah, let's see. Issued a $10,000 bond for him. So he's going to be in jail until whatever trial they're going to have for him. But yeah, he's basically charged with assault, I believe.
Yeah, that qualifies as assault.
And the whole thing got caught on video, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of hard not to these days.
Yeah. And, I mean, there is no nuance to it. That is literally the order of events as they happened.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Yeah.
So yeah, he didn't do a great job.
Considering how like back during the 2016 race there was that dude who punched out an old lady.
Mm.
You know, I mean we shouldn't be surprised by this.
No, I suppose not.
Yeah.
He didn't necessarily do a good job.
Well, disappointment and surprise are not the same thing.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it seems like he's not a great fighter because the old guy's like, I thought, what the hell? He just started wailing on my head. I didn't go down for what that's worth.
That's worth something.
Yeah.
You know? It's fucking worth something.
Yeah. Anyway.
You couldn't even take down this old guy.
Yeah. All right. Next up. So if you've been on Twitter or Facebook the last week, you may have noticed that among the number one retweets was Moscow Mitch. And the reason was because Mitch McConnell has basically blocked a bipartisan voting protection bill from getting voted on in the Senate.
Uh-huh.
Because, of course, he did.
Uh-huh.
And so they all start people. I can't remember who it was that started it. But somebody started doing retweet Moscow Mitch. And Mitch McConnell was so salty about it. He actually went on the floor of the Senate and complained that it was modern day McCarthyism.
Really?
You're being mean to me.
Well, McCarthy was one of theirs.
Yeah. I was fixing to say. Yeah.
It's like, if you don't want to be called a Russian asset, stop associating yourself with Russians.
Yeah. And people
stop taking money from Russian companies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And conveniently blocking bills that would combat Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's pretty easy stuff.
All right.
Yeah.
Also, let's be completely real here. When it comes to the economy, the other probably big retweet you could do is probably China Doll McConnell, because well, you know how deep his wife is with
yep.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Mm. But yeah, so it was just, I think everybody kind of got a laugh out of that one.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing that he's in the Senate, has apparently so much power, and absolutely nobody can stand him.
Mm-hmm.
even people in his own party.
Mm-hmm.
So,
apparently, the people in his district in Kentucky are also getting sick of him as well.
Yeah,
he's got a very low approval rating down there.
Well,
good.
But he still has an R by his name. So
yeah,
so far,
which. Yeah, which is kind of sort of. Also, I'm pretty sure his district is like gerrymandered all to hell. So,
oh, I'm sure too. Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, it's all a good time to mention next that up. He has two people running for his job in the next election.
Yep.
So, yeah, definitely look them up. Amy McGrath, and I'm not sure what the other one is. It's the farmer dude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So, next up, we're now in the environment and science part of the show. So I got some good news and some bad news. The good news is that over in California, a lot of farmers have decided that they're going to convert their farmland to solar farms so that they can get some of that sweet, sweet solar energy.
Okay.
Which is, you know, and much more environmentally friendly and efficient. Bad news is that the reason they're doing this is because the water supply in California is slowly drying up.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. That is sad.
I mean, granted, California is basically a giant desert.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
At least, like, the bottom half of it is.
Southern California is basically what happens if you take, like, the bottom half of Arizona and the top half of Texas and then just drop them on the West Coast.
Hmm.
You get SoCal.
And then flood them with people. Who thought it was a good idea to build civilization there?
Somebody
Walt
did.
Disney.
Well, Hollywood became a thing. Yeah. So, yeah. Which, by the way, you ever been to Hollywood? It's literally one street.
Yeah. Totally. And it smells like pee. Holy fuck, it smells like pee really bad. Worse than Atlanta. Sorry. That was
no,
strong.
This is good to, this right. is good to know. I've been to Atlanta several times, and yes, if it doesn't smell like smog, it smells like pee.
Ugh, yeah.
And of course, when you're in Hollywood, again, it is only one street. You end up taking a wrong turn, and you are right in the middle of the hood. So,
yeah. And people don't like you driving by that street anyway, so.
Yeah, that's why you have to walk there.
Mm.
But you should, you fat American motherfucker. Anyway, so yeah, farmers in California are converting farm to solar farms, which, again, it means that obviously climate change is definitely a part of this, and, you know, a handful of really asshole celebrities who won't fucking deal with a fucking water advisory, but yeah.
Okay, do you guys want some breaking news?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's really stupid breaking news, but there is somebody that's running for Congress. in a heavily Democratic district north of Miami.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
It's Laura Loomer.
Oh my God, this is going to be awesome.
This is going to be magnificent in its shit showness.
Oh, it's going to be just, it's a circus, folks. Get out the peanuts.
This is your political system at work.
Yeah, she isn't going to get shit.
Hmm. What's she trying to accomplish?
Attention. That's what she's trying to accomplish before she makes her final grand suicide attempt.
So they explain it well. She was kicked off PayPal in February, kicked off from Twitter a while ago. She's also been banned from GoFundMe and Venmo. She's banned from Uber and Lyft.
Yep.
After calling for the creation of a new rideshare app that does not employ Muslims, so she's that kind of person that gets banned from everything.
Yeah.
So she has a little way to exploit people for attention.
Yeah.
But anyway, as long as anything did not get a real job, basically.
She's getting it from somewhere.
Somebody is funding her. I don't know who it is, but somebody.
Probably like Ben Shapiro, one of those assholes.
I don't know. I mean, basically, Ben Shapiro spends half of his days hate-thirsting on AOC, so I guess he has something to do with his time. Anyway, next up, Greenland. Greenland, like pretty much everywhere else in Europe, was hit with a heat wave, and it caused a massive melt on their ice sheet that made them lose 11 billion tons of ice in just one day.
Yeah.
11 billion tons of ice converting into water vapor has to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's water equivalent to 4.4 million Olympic swimming pools.
Yep.
See, Greenland's ice sheet usually melts during the summer, but the melt season typically begins around the end of May. So here it began at the start. It has been melting persistently over the past 4 months, which have recorded all-time temperature highs. This July alone, Greenland's ice sheet lost 197 billion tons of ice, equivalent of around 80 million swimming pools. The expected average would be between 70 billion tons at this time of year. So almost three times.
Yikes. It has been bad this year, though, as far as heat rates.
July, according to the scientists, July is the hottest year on record. I mean, the hottest month on record.
Yeah.
The second hottest was back in 2016.
That just doesn't bode well.
No, and it certainly doesn't bode well when, you know, you've got a federal agency or continually denying that anything is going wrong.
And so, deleting 2 years' worth of research from the internet.
Yeah. You guys ever heard of Krakatoa?
Yes.
It was that volcano back in the 1800s that exploded, and it sent like a shit ton of like dust and ash into the air. And it, like, they called it, it affected the atmosphere so much that one time they had what they called the year without a summer.
I could
use one of those right about now.
Wait a while, Yellowstone will provide.
Actually, Yellowstone won't provide, but for those who don't know, for all those about that super eruption, like fear doomsday scenarios from Yellowstone, it's never happening, because the type of stuff that you need to happen in a geyser to have that type of super eruption isn't there. But
yeah,
it does make for a great book, though.
Oh yes, it does. But all right, so next up in India.
And I will not be compost for a long time.
Well, over in India, there was a kid.
It's very hot.
Oh, yes. Over in India, yes, where it is indeed extremely hot. And the cuisine is hot enough to match. Seriously, have you ever had a vindaloo curry?
That's the good shit.
That's the good shit that makes your asshole burn. But anyway, there was a kid, he went to the dentist, and he needed to have some teeth removed. And he ended up having a grand total of 526 teeth removed from his head.
Absorb twin?
No, it's... let's see, the swollen right cheek of 7-year-old Ravindranath looked like a symptom of a decayed tooth to his parents. Tucked inside his right tiny lower jaw were 526 teeth the dentist had to remove surgically. The abnormal teeth embedded in his jawbone were not visible from outside the mouth. Dentist surgically removed all of them, retained his normal teeth, numbered 21. Let's see. Doctor said the boy's condition was called compound composite odontoma. Yeah. It is a rare condition. The teeth were in different sizes, vary between 0.1 millimeters to 15 millimeters. They looked like pearls in an oyster. Even the smallest piece had a crown, root, and an enamel coating like a tooth. And yeah, there's a little video with pictures of the whole thing. All the ones they took out, which is all in like a big swirling.
Oh, that's what that is.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it's like from like almost, it's kind of like smallest and then some big ones and then some small ones all the way up to you get to the end where they show you all the big ones. And
that's how you know that they got bored at a certain point. Like, let's just put this in a neat little pattern.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to be here for a couple hours. Let's
might as well have some fun with it.
Well, I wonder if his DNA, like if he had a sister or something, was mixed with my kid's DNA. What would happen with their kids? Because my kid has hypodontia, which...
You ever seen that movie, The Langoliers?
Yes.
There's your answer.
Okay. That's a good movie, though.
Well, I'm glad he's okay, at least.
Yeah.
No, Langoliers is a good movie because it's so terrible. But anyway, yeah. It's one of those things where it's like, look... Good Stephen King adaptations are really good, but when they're bad, they're even better.
Well, because the acting is just
yeah,
so. Like or like that fucking God, what was that movie he made? He didn't direct it. He wrote the screenplay for it. It was in the early 90s. I'm trying to remember it. Mark Hamill was in it. Stephen King, of course, had his head. I'll think about it later. Anyway,
yeah.
Shiny. No.
Now for the good news. Ladies and gentlemen, Burger King, the Impossible Whopper, is finally going nationwide next week.
Yay!
Yay!
Yeah, now
yeah. August 8th.
Mm-hmm. August 8th.
Which means I'll probably wait about a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we'll be able to walk into a Burger King on August 8th.
Yeah. Seriously, I'm serious. If this manages to take off way I hope it does, it's going to change the way we consume protein in this country.
Like, yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
If it tastes good and, you know, it looks the
best. And from everyone who's tasted it, if someone didn't tell you otherwise, you would have never been able to tell the difference.
So,
yeah.
So, like, believe... calorically, is there a difference?
Minorly.
Okay.
Worth
mentioning.
Price is about $5.59.
Yeah,
about a dollar more than the regular Whopper,
which is about $4.59. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I don't think I say anything about how different it is.
I do know how they make the burger, quote unquote. They say bleed. It's not really bleeding. It's just juice.
Yeah.
You know, like when you bite into a nice, when you say a burger's bleeding, it's like it's a nice juicy burger. That's what they mean.
Mm-hmm.
They synthesized a compound called hemo, which is part of, you know, hemoglobin. It's what gives the juiciness in meat.
Yeah, it's plant-based hemoglobin. So
yep, that's right. And again, so many people have eaten it and said they would never have known the difference if you hadn't told them.
Yeah.
Yep.
I hope this takes off.
Yeah.
Because it will affect the way we consume meat in this country if it does.
Okay, I'm looking at the pages. They have the page up for the Impossible Whopper on the Burger King site.
Yeah.
Let's see, 630 calories versus 660 for the regular Whopper.
Yeah, so about 30 calories less.
Yeah, 34 grams of fat versus 40.
So it's better for you. So.
Like marginally.
Yeah.
10 milligrams of cholesterol versus 90.
That's
a little bit more sodium, but 100 more milligrams.
Yeah,
A little more carbs, a little more fiber.
Yeah, but I mean, this is, we're talking about faux meat. Yeah, I mean, we're talking about faux meat, so that's like to be expected.
Mm. Yeah. No trans fat.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And I just see all this and I think more meat for the meat eaters.
Yeah. And the thing is, this is not, because I don't know how many of you guys have ever actually had veggie burgers before.
I have.
They suck.
Yeah. Yeah, the majority of them don't really try. Most of them, I mean, they try to give the appearance of, you know, a meat patty, but the truth of the matter is that flavor-wise, they are anything but.
Yeah, it's really not, not there.
This is like the first attempt where they've made an actual faux meat patty that not only looks like it, but also tastes like it. Yeah. So,
yeah, there's this and there's the Beyond Burger. Well, those, if you can get in the store, if your stores are carrying them, but the Impossible Burger is going to be just restaurants for now, at least. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Let's hope this is a success, because I want it to be.
Mm. Yeah.
All right. Next up, sports news. Over at a Colorado Rockies game this week, there was a fan that threw a ball that hit 96 miles per hour.
Yeah, they have like one of those little areas you can go in and like throw the ball at the target and see how fast you can throw. And yeah, you can see the video tweets there where he was hitting like 92, 90, 94 a bunch before hitting 96 a few times. and sort of this went viral for him and eventually got an offer from the Oakland A's for a contract, minor league contract.
All right.
The catch is that he used to be a baseball player in high school and had played since his senior year.
Yeah.
So he kind of took a few years off.
But he knew he could throw heat.
Yeah, he was 23 years old. Yeah, and the A's aren't sort of putting him out there for questions just yet. Want him to sort of get settled with his new team and all that. But yeah, it took about 2 weeks, I think. Or no. Let's see. Oh, he hit 96 at a stadium pitching booth at a Nashville Sounds game in August 2018.
Hmm.
Sort of gave him an idea that this might actually be something he could work towards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sort of use this as a way of platooning into that. But and yeah, like, let's see, where to say. Oh, after that game, the reason why he didn't really do anything much then is because he got hit by a car, had to undergo surgery on his non-pitching arm.
Oh, wow, so he had to sort of
take some time off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would have sucked if it was a pitching arm, though. Even more.
Yeah.
For real.
It's like, hey, here's a possible career path. Oh, fuck.
Well, I mean, Rookie of the Year shows it can go the other way for you. But, yeah, I guess he posted videos of his training while wearing an arm cast on his Twitter account. So, yeah.
Yeah, all right. That's a good story.
So this happened. Story. Pretty nice story.
Mm-hmm. Next up, you remember last week that, you know, there was an enormous city-destroying asteroid that passed us by and was really close to the Earth, and yet somehow everyone missed it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of hard to forget.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we got another massive Empire State Building size asteroid headed this way, but it's going to pass us by next week, and it's going to not be quite as close as that one was.
Yeah, it'll be August 10th, so next Saturday.
Yeah.
Asteroid 2006 QQ23 will fly within 0.049 astronomical units, about 4.6 million miles.
Yeah.
Of Earth, about 10,400 miles per hour.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's close enough to classify the object as a near-Earth asteroid, and because it's within 0.05 astronomical units, it's close enough to be labeled as potentially hazardous. But it measures about 1,870 feet in diameter, which is greater than the height of the Empire State Building, which is 1,450. But yeah, that's it's more or less a benign object. It's not really going to come close at all.
Yeah, which is a good thing. I don't particularly want to
not live wake through up in a morning. Meteor impact.
Yeah. So
it does say here NASA is developing the double asteroid redirection test, or DART, which will be a planetary defense spacecraft. The agency plans to slam the spacecraft into asteroids that could potentially pose a threat to Earth.
Yeah, in the inevitability that it actually happens, because it will. Yeah. It's happened before, and it will happen again.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to develop a Goku.
We could have a
ship. Remember the last one that hit us took out the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
So.
And we could have, like, maybe a ship that we fly around out there, and it's got a teleporter and, like, laser beams, and then you hear, like, dun-dun-dun-dun, whenever the asteroids are getting nearby. Yeah, I think that'll work really well.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, that ship, it would have to be, like, vaguely triangular, but then, like, sort of fold into itself in the back.
Yeah, it really would. Yeah. And it would only work on asteroids that you can see through.
Yeah, so. And also, the thing is, like, in two dimensions, because we're joking about asteroids.
The old target.
I just ruined your joke.
I think you just clarified it for people who are older than we are. Well, younger than we are. Older than we are, they would get it. But anyway.
Yeah. All right, next up. Rammstein.
We're awesome.
Oh. Du hast. Du hast, Mensch. Yeah. By the way, speaking of Columbine. Remember when they got roped into that shit?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Anyway. So, if you've ever seen Rammstein live or watched one of their concert videos, you know that their shows are, well, interesting, to say the least.
Creative?
Creative. And by creative, we mean...
Lots of explosions.
Lots of pyrotechnics. Sometimes the singer likes to get on a... roller scooter with a giant penis on the front that shoots foam. Walking out of vaginas. Yeah. And there's the keyboard player who's just weird. I don't know what his deal is. But anyway, they were playing in Moscow last week. And so Rammstein did what Rammstein always does when faced with shit like this. They made out on stage in protest of Russia's anti-gay laws.
Nice.
There's not a damn thing they could do about it.
Nice. That was
fucking Rammstein.
Yeah. I mean, there's really not much more to add to that. So.
It's like... Yep.
That's probably, like, the least weird thing they've done on stage.
Yeah. That's true. It's true. Oh, no, I need to listen to some Rammstein. God damn.
Yeah. Anyway... And finally, our last music story for the day, Lil Nas X's Old Town Road featuring Billy Ray Cyrus officially broke Billboard's record for spending most weeks at number one on the Hot 100. 17 weeks.
Billy Ray Cyrus? I can guarantee fucking to you, I have never heard it.
Well, I'm going to take my horse to the Old Town Road. I'm going to... Right till I can't no more. That, you haven't heard that?
No, and I've only heard Baby Shark once. So I win.
Yeah. See, it's a song that I actually like, and it's also a song that could only become popular right now. Because here's the little song. The song came out earlier this year from this kid from Atlanta who called himself Lil Nas X. Because he came up with, like, three of the big rappers from the last 20 years.
Okay.
Lil Wayne, Nas, and DMX.
Original.
He could have accidentally called himself Dr. Tupac Biggie.
Maybe. Oh, my God.
And so he came out with what he called a country trap song, which was Old Town Road. And he premiered it on his website using footage he got from Red Dead Redemption 2. And he also allowed it to be used with various TikTok memes with like what they call the Yeehaw Challenge, stuff like that. And, it got so popular, it actually started climbing the country charts because either he or his manager, when they first put it on Spotify, they just randomly checked the, country label on there because why the hell not?
Mm-hmm.
And then it climbed up and it climbed up and it got into the top 10 of the country charts. And then Billboard stepped in and said, no, we're not going to do that anymore because it's technically not a country song, which is both understandable and bullshit. Understandable because really musically it kind of doesn't really sound much like a country song, but also bullshit because modern country doesn't sound like a country song. Yeah, it's no, pop with a country with a southern accent.
Yeah. Yep.
Seriously.
And also, that's where Taylor Swift came from, was country.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just to point out, it is absolutely true that there is some serious racism in the country music scene. Mm. Like, Charlie Pride's been doing this shit for 30 years. Ask about him about all the shit he's had to deal with. And he's like one of the top 10, performers in that genre of all time. And so what happened was that news came out. Again, they said it wasn't a country song. And he said it was too hip-hop. And again, I don't know if you noticed, but country music these days borrows a lot from hip-hop. Like, a lot. So what happened is Billy Ray Cyrus got wind of this, and he decided to step in, and he said, hey, you want to make, like, a remix of the song? And, like, I'll get in on this, and, you know, I got my Miley Cyrus money to get behind you. And we'll put out a song, and, you know, I'll do some stuff for it. And, you know, it's still your song, but I'll do some stuff on it, and we'll re-release it. And that's how it became the biggest hit of the year, and the longest time charting at number one in history.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's good for him.
Yeah, you know, he's got to be thanking his lucky stars that Aiden Breitbart ain't his only legacy.
Yeah. It's like, I finally got to live that one down, so.
Yeah. Also, you got to think, man, he, because, you know, they performed that song on the BET Awards.
Yeah.
And somehow Billy Ray Cyrus managed to get accepted by the black community before Miley did.
Just hilarious in and of itself.
Yeah. And by the way, she and tried to go back to country and that didn't work either. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Again, it's one of those songs that could only exist in the present day and age.
Yeah.
It's a good case of internet ensues.
Yeah.
By the way, the banjo chord that you hear on the song, he sampled that from a Nine Inch Nails record. So.
Yeah. Wow. Probably sampled it from something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, Old Town Road.
Yep.
Finally a pop song I actually don't hate. And somehow Billy Ray Cyrus is no longer country music's walking punchline. Yeah, he's got that fuck you cred now.
Yep. So is it now what, Garth Brooks?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, like
either that or Big and Rich.
Yeah. Garth Brooks did this 2-CD thing where he covered a shit ton of popular songs like Springsteen and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was unusual. I won't say that I listened to all of it, but I was forced to listen to a few tracks.
Well, there was also that short time when he tried to reinvent himself as a pop rock guy.
Oh, that was a very short time.
Yeah, it
didn't. Didn't he also try to become a baseball player or something? Or was that was Michael Jordan? Never mind.
Mm-hmm. No, he was about involved in some success. Form with baseball.
Mm-hmm.
One of his other alter egos, I guess.
Yeah.
But I know recently he put out like some big like box set of his music and it didn't sell.
Mm-hmm.
It was like featured at Target, like nobody bought it.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's like on clearance all the time.
Mm.
Oh. Wow.
I'd pick that up. I mean, some of his stuff is not terrible.
Yeah, some of it.
Most of it is trash, but some of it
yeah,
is
trash. Exactly. In fact, I kind of single-handedly blame Garth Brooks for the direction country music took into that whole bro country shit.
Mm. You're not wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not at all.
But yeah, so anyway, moving on from there. Now into the movie and entertainment portion. And first, we got our first look at the Netflix's The Irishman. And it is fucking amazing.
This cannot come out soon enough.
Mm-mm. It is the Avengers of crime movies.
Mm.
Yep, and they got that de-aging CG going on.
Yes, they do.
Make sure all these old fucking people don't look so old.
Yeah. They all sound like their age, but they look like they're in their 30s.
Yeah.
What the fuck? But yeah, this is a bit... I can't wait for this. I really want to watch this. Is this going to be in theaters as well, or...?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be out on Netflix.
Well, I mean, it's a Scorsese flick, so yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're going to try and get some Oscar nominations and whatnot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which it is going to get them. I mean, holy shit, just this trailer alone, I already want to give it Best Picture.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, no joke. This looks really, like, this looks fat-fucking-tastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
But and finally, we got a trailer for Queen and Slim.
Yeah,
which looks pretty good.
Like Queen and maybe Eminem, or am I?
No, this is
no. It's like a Bonnie and Clyde kind of heist movie.
Wow.
Featuring Daniel Kaluuya.
Mm-hmm.
Kaluuya from what was it? What was the movie that he was in? Couple years ago.
Okay. IMDb.
The horror movie.
Have the app open.
This is being written by Lena Raith, who worked on Master of None, and she's got her own show on, I think, HBO.
Mm-hmm.
She does some really good work. And the director has worked on a lot of like music videos and Nike campaign stuff, but she's working on her first like actual movie.
You can kind of tell, because this trailer really did have kind of a music video type vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's Get Out's Daniel Kaluuya.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The star of that.
Mm. Get Out.
He's out with on a first date with another woman, Jodie Turner Smith, and they get pulled over for minor traffic infraction, and things escalate to the point where the cop ends up getting killed in self-defense, and they kind of go running for their lives, changing their looks, all that sort of stuff, just always on the run.
Mm. All right.
Yeah, it looks like a pretty good movie.
Yep.
It's going to be out in November.
Yeah. A lot of good movies coming out in November. It's going to be a stacked month. And then December, Star Wars comes out, so...
Yep.
Yep.
Does it for that?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, I do believe we got ourselves a show, folks.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yep. So, I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you got a question, comment, something you just want us to read on the air, you can get in contact with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We've got it written for you in the show notes. Also, on top of, Apple Podcasts, because, iTunes is dead now. You can also get us at Google Play, archive.org, RSS, pretty much any kind of podcast aggregator. 6 to 1, there's a good chance we're on there somewhere. So, with that, I have been your host, Brandon Merkins, and for Filippo D'Adolfo, Patrick Mifflin, Chris Logie, and Teresa Sammons, good night. I'm going right back to Fire Emblem. Fuck you, people.